Herald for the appropriate story and the appropriate song. To you as a class, Brother Herald, as I referred to the fact that you have placed your choice at the right place. And I would just say this, that you have begun a courtship with the groom that really matters. And be faithful to the end. And God will bless you, and God will honor his promises to the faithful. I have a number of announcements I'd like to make before we proceed with the message. The offering for today is for Center Missions, and then next Sunday's offering will be for General Fund. On Wednesday evening will be the evening where there will be reports given of church ministries. Edith Schrock, Mrs. Joan I. Schrock of Huntsville, Arkansas, died last Monday. The funeral was on Thursday. She was formerly of Thomas, Oklahoma. She is Ken Schrock's mother, for those of you who hadn't made the connection. This morning, three of our young sisters left from here to travel to SMBI. They are Crystal Yoder, Frieda Kipfer, and Heidi Mast, going for a six-week period of study. Let's remember them in our prayers. Kathy Taylor is having laser surgery tomorrow to make the third attempt at getting rid of a kidney stone that's just been sort of troublesome. And so let's remember her in our prayers as well. This on Monday and Tuesday, we need volunteers for the MCC Canner. And I'm not sure who is our contact person on that. Right now, it's escaping me. Would you raise your hand? Leroy, thank you. If there's questions, direct them to Leroy. The monthly sewing is tomorrow evening and Tuesday. On Thursday, Brother Lowell and I leave for a week. Well, I will be gone for a week for the pastor's seminar in India, and then he will be extending his stay and will be spending time at another pastor's seminar in Liberia, I want to say. I said it wrong, didn't I? Is it Nigeria? Guess Lowell's not here. I don't see him right off. It is Liberia. Nigeria. Okay. It is Nigeria. I know to us Americans it's probably all one and the same, but they are different. They are different countries. And so he'll be working alongside of Bob Kaufman with Heralds of Hope and others. On Tuesday, there is Election Day coming up, and we're announcing this not to chase you to the polls, but it's to help you get to the closet. Let's remember to pray on Tuesday. To begin that, there has been some interest expressed in an early morning prayer meeting here on Tuesday morning at 6:30. And so everyone is invited who can make it to come here Tuesday morning to join each other in prayer for that day's election process. Throughout the day, you're welcome to come here. I know that the sewing will be taking place, but if it works better for you to get away and spend time praying, here's a place you can come to do it. And we'd like to encourage that, in fact. And not only that, let's remember that a lot of our co-patriots, if we can call ourselves patriots, we are citizens, let's say, of America, are going to the polls, and many of them will be taking time off of work and maybe even spending hours standing in line to do their voting. Could we as Christians think about devoting some time to? So think about it and pray about it and do something about it. CBS cleanup is scheduled for November 12th through 14th, and Brother Laverne is the point person there. If you have, if you can help, you are to contact Laverne. At the end of this service, we have a new little man in church this morning, Roland Mark. And between the time that the baptisms and the dismissal of the baptismal class and their parents, we're going to have a dedication prayer for Joseph and Leanna, their family, and little Roland Mark. I wonder what announcements you have.
You will find your new CenterAid cards in your mailboxes. And also, a big thank you from the food committee for all the food that was brought in. And you'll find your containers, empty containers, over here on a table in the overflow.
I just feel led to say a word or two for Julie Stutzman. That family could use her prayers and her encouragement. We stopped there just a little this morning, and they're very thankful and grateful, but let's remember them.
Thank you for that reminder, Lester. I had them on my mind this morning, too, and other things crowded it out.
Lauren. I had a call from my nephew, Conrad Kipfer. You'll remember just a short time ago we prayed for him when his health was declining and those close to him thought he was slipping away. And the Lord has chosen to restore his health. And he's still being restored, but he's very grateful, and he wants to thank the church here for their prayers. And their little daughter, fourth little daughter, was born healthy, and we thank the Lord.
In about 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing a roof in Hutch for Hands of Christ, and I'm really having trouble finding guys to help me. It's about an 8, maybe a 9-12, so I need guys that are fairly comfortable on a pitch. 16 square, 3 tab, fairly straightforward. So if you are comfortable on a roof and see, I think it's today, two or this weekend in 2 weeks, please talk to me.
Thank you for heading that up, and I guess that excludes a few of us then.
Leroy and myself are the contact persons, as was mentioned, and that doesn't mean that we contact you for recruits. It means if you have questions, come to us. At the present, there are no signatures on the papers that were given. We need people bringing food and also to attend to the snack bar and people that will commit themselves to be there, particularly in the slot that center is designated for. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Merle. That helps. There's a bit of urgency here because this is only a day away, right? And there's no, so let's work with these brothers in that, Brother Merle.
I failed to mention that the youth, I'm guessing that they'll have this announcement as well, but the youth will be taking the late night shift, which is tomorrow night from 8 to midnight or so. And others would be welcome too, but the youth particularly will be taking that.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing that.
For the youth this evening, the singing will be at Daryl and Karen's, and songbooks will be provided. Okay.
We will also be eating first. I'm sorry, singing first.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? Well, if not, we are ready then to lift the offering. Today's offering is for Center Mission Fund. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Lord and Father, we pause grateful to you for the many blessings that you have given us. But that the biggest blessing of all is that you have given us a relationship with yourself through your Son, Jesus. And today, Lord, we gather to celebrate the choices that 6 young people have made to follow you. And we pray that you would attend them with your grace and your strength. And as they receive water baptism, I just ask, Lord, that you would in that this could nourish them, that this could empower them, that this could help them in the important ways of defining who they are and who they will serve. Lord, we thank you for the way you have met needs this past week in the hearts and lives of many of us. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to attend the Miller family as they process the things that need to be processed after the passing of the last parent. And we just thank you for them and thank you for their family. Thank you for the blessing that Irvin and Mary were to this congregation. And we just ask your continued guidance for this family as they serve you in the places you've called them. Lord, this morning too, we think of Julia Stutzman and of Perry and Judith as they stand by her. You alone know the work that you want to do. And we would even at this late hour and entreat you to heal her if that honors you most. We commit her to you. We commit the parents to you and the brothers and sisters as well. And just ask that you would stand by them in these challenging times. Think too of Kathy Taylor, who undergoes surgery tomorrow. Would you give her strength and grace and bless those who are closest to her as they minister to her. Lord, we thank you too for the opportunity we have to give today to the work that is across the waters. And we just pray that you would be honored in all of the efforts that we make, but especially the efforts that those pastors make to serve you and to bring your gospel to a hostile culture. Lord, we just want to trust you for the rest of this service. Pray a special blessing on Brother Arlen as he ministers to us. May our hearts be nourished and our souls fed, and may we find ourselves faithful and true to you to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for that, Shane. Good morning, and may the peace of God be with you all. There aren't supposed to be any frogs up here this morning. As I prepared my message this morning, I've thought a lot about my early years as a believer, more than I usually do. I don't feel like I've learned to know you young people well enough to know how you're finding it. But the first words that come to mind for me when I think about my years as a young believer aren't really positive ones. I think of words like embarrassment, loneliness, guilt, even shame. I'm sure there were bright spots, but I guess they must be kind of rare because, well, those aren't the parts that I remember as well. I know this is just part of life, but I've got a deep desire to see those words not be characteristic of your early years as believers. And that desire has been the primary motivation behind what I'm going to say this morning. I'm going to start with a review of the gospel message, which is called the plan of salvation, as we know it. And this seems to me to be both a logical place and kind of a curious place to start. It's curious because I'm kind of preaching to the choir. You've obviously already, you already understand this plan to some degree and you've acted upon it. But it's logical because it is the nature of our service today. I'll be mining the book, the Gospel of John, again this morning, which probably doesn't come as any surprise to you. The Gospel of John is fundamentally, I think, about the gospel message. This isn't icing on the cake. This isn't even chocolate chips in the batter. This is an essential component of the batter of this book. Take icing off the cake, you still have cake. Take chips out of the batter, and you can still have cake. But take the gospel message out of the book of John, and all you have are some random ingredients. Salvation through Jesus Christ is a core message of the book of John. I'm going to start in John 3. I'll be spending most of my time in this section about Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. I should also just mention from the outset, like I often do, that I owe a lot to that trilogy of authors I think I've mentioned before, Merrill Tenney, N.T. Wright, and Leslie Newbegin. Now, there are several aspects of the gospel message that aren't included in this passage, and we will need to treat them as accepted truths this morning. I was blessed when I saw how God had directed Julian to start the service with one of these truths. That is the place to start, really. And that is that we are all lost. We need somebody to save us. The second is very much a corollary, and I talked about this in my last two sermons from the book of John. Jesus Christ came to earth as God incarnate to save us. So if you with me can accept those two points as established fact this morning, then we'll move on. Let's read verses 1 through 8 in chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Now, if I were to put what Jesus said in these verses about being saved or entering the kingdom of God into one statement, it might look something like this. To be saved, we must be born again, be born from above, and be born of water and the Spirit. Now, that sounds a bit convoluted, perhaps. It looks like maybe we're talking about four ways that we need to be born, right? Not exactly. I'm actually going to call Joseph up here this morning with the youngest member of this audience. You can come now. since Roland Mark has experienced birth so recently, perhaps he can have some help for us. I don't see his notes, but we'll see how he does without notes this morning. Actually, what we're going to be doing here is looking at some of the contrasts between what has just happened to Roland and what each of you has experienced. So as we're doing this, as we're going along, be thinking about these similarities and these differences, and I'm going to ask you to be brave in a little bit and give me some feedback on that. Let's start with the first two terms of my statement. To be saved, we must be born again and born from above. Now, if you're thinking, where did born from above come from? Good job. You're paying attention. If you were reading verse 3 out of the New Revised Standard, you'd see, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And the same term is used in verse 7. And you'll also see this in the footnotes of a number of the modern translations. And here's the reason. The Greek word used, therefore, from above, is the word anothen, which actually has a dual meaning. And it is used both ways in the New Testament. I'm just going to read through all the times it shows up in the New Testament to give you an understanding of this. Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Top is anothen. And the parallel passage in Mark uses the same word. Luke 1:3, when Luke is introducing his gospel, he says, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning. And that would be back, like again, from the beginning. John 3:31, later in the same chapter, it says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. And then Paul, in Acts 3:5, is presenting his case to Agrippa. And actually, that's not chapter 3. I don't remember what it is, but it's in the book of Acts. He's presenting his case to Agrippa, and he's talking about the Jews when he says, since they knew me from the first. A lot of translations render that for a long time. So once again, we're talking about the again part of this definition. Galatians 4:9, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? The word there is all over. Now, it shows up three times in the book of James, and each time there it's rendered from above. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, etc. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, and etc. So, you can see that the term is used both ways and split almost in half in the New Testament. I think it's also significant to notice that there is no equivalent dual-meaning term in the Hebrew or the Aramaic. So it makes me think that Jesus was discussing these issues in Greek with a Jew, which is kind of an interesting concept. At any rate, the Spirit directed John to use this word in recording this dialogue. Now, it's clear, isn't it, what Nicodemus thought Jesus meant. He said, how can you be born again, you know? But my question is, what meaning did Jesus intend? And why didn't he use a word that didn't have a dual meaning? My conclusion is this. I think Jesus used that dual meaning word deliberately, and he meant it both ways. The concept of born again sounds pretty similar to the new birth. And that concept doesn't show up as much in this gospel, but it seems to me that the basic message of this meaning of the first birth, this meaning about born again, is that the first birth is not enough. Is that fair? So, Roland isn't saved simply because he was born the first time, right? Now, let's not get confused with that whole issue of the age of accountability. We don't have time to go into that this morning. I feel completely comfortable in saying that Roland is safe. But his being born this first time didn't save him. Can we agree with that? Is that fair? So really, this just echoes my earlier statement when I said, and what Julian was talking about, when he said, we are all lost and in need of a Savior. As Ephesians says, we are all by nature the children of wrath, or we had the wrath of God resting on us, or maybe directed at us. Now, on to the second meaning, the concept of born from above. John 1, 12 and 13, I think, gives us some good insight on this one. That's chapter 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It seems to me that surely these terms born from above and born of God have got to be similar terms, if not basically synonymous. Then if so, then we can see that being born from what born from above is not from this passage here. It is not what? It is not being born of blood, nor of flesh, or the will of man. Now, my understanding of the use of blood and flesh there is that it's much like the other times, usually flipped around. It means human. Paul tells the Corinthians that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, which really is saying the same thing once again, first birth isn't enough. The line from Ephesians that you all know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers, etc. Now, young people, it looks to me like Roland was born of flesh and blood. Do you agree with that? Okay. I think he was born of Joseph and Leanna. Now, Joseph, Roland is clearly a gift of God, a miracle in one sense of the word, right? But would you concur that he was born by the will of man? That it was because of choices you and Leanna made? Okay, so he was born by the will of man, right? So then we can see that this is not what it means to be born of, that Roland's birth is not what it means to be born above. And Jesus underscores this distinction in verse 6, where he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. We're talking two different things. So then, whatever Jesus meant by being born from above or born from God, I think it's we can see that it's something very distinct from what Roland has just experienced. And actually, I think we're going to have to move beyond these verses into a little further into the passage to get more help on that. But I'll get there in a little bit. So we've talked about the contrast now between Roland's experience and your new birth experience. But I want you to think now of the similarities. Jesus wasn't just grasping desperately for some figure of speech when he talked about birth. Okay? He had definite purposes for using this analogy. There is something about the physical birth experience that he wants us to grasp and connect to our spiritual birth. Do you have some ideas on what those are? Forget everybody else, you're just here. What are some of the similarities? I'll get you started. Everything is new, right? Everything is new for this little guy. He's experiencing something he's never experienced before. And that's really what you're experiencing too. Any others?
One of the things our children said when they were admiring him was that he doesn't have any scars. And in the new birth, God will take all your sins and you'll be scar-free.
Amen. Thank you, Joseph. Anybody want to mention one? That's okay. Maybe we'll open it up. Are there others of you who want to venture one? What are some similarities? Okay, I'm sorry? You don't grow without being born. Good point. And what did somebody say up here?
Life.
New life. Exactly. New life. This child is alive, right? There was a point at which Roland didn't exist, and now he does. And same here. There was a point at which you, as children of God, did not exist, and now you do. So similarly, I mean, related to that, well, another way of saying it is simply the new birth is the beginning of a new life. Roland is completely dependent on his parents, right? You are completely dependent on your father. You can't even feed yourselves. Suppose Roland were to suck his thumb endlessly. How much nourishment would he get out of that? He is powerless to feed himself. He's got to have other people stepping in to give him that nourishment. Thanks for your time. Let's move on. We're going to bypass Nicodemus's question today. I think any mother here could have an easy answer for that question. It looks to me like he was caught off guard and was just kind of fishing for words and didn't know what to say. So in response, Jesus elaborates on his earlier statement. He says that to enter the kingdom of God, a person must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, I have to confess, this phrase has never made sense to me until I dug into it this time. The verse that helped make it click for me comes from chapter 1, verse 33. I'm going to start reading at verse 29. Chapter 1, 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit from heaven. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom the Spirit, on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" Now, this drops us squarely into another obvious theme of the morning, baptism. Did you catch the parallel concepts there in verse 33? John the Baptist said that he was sent to baptize with water, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus had says in verse 5 of this passage that new life must begin by being born with both water and the Spirit. So might it be that being baptized with water is the process of being born of water, and being baptized of the Spirit is the process of being born of the Spirit? Pardon me if this has been obvious to the rest of you, but it was new to me. Somehow I had always connected what he said the next about flesh and spirit, and assumed that water somehow referred to the human birth or something. But it really doesn't make sense, and it was time I got that misconception straightened up. Anyway, for a quick recap of the conversation so far, this is what has happened. Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again, and we see born from above, to enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was confused, so Jesus explained that to enter the kingdom of God, he had to be born by baptism of water, and also be born by baptism of the Spirit. Looking at the context of John 1 and 3, I think we need to assume that Nicodemus was clearly aware of the ministry of John the Baptist. If so, then I think Jesus was essentially telling Nicodemus, you need both John's baptism and my baptism. Now, does that make things more clear? Or does it just introduce more questions? I think there are questions we can answer. Let's look at the first assertion. If my understanding is correct, what is it about John's baptism, the baptism by water, that makes it essential for entering the kingdom of God? We already know that being born of water, baptized by water, isn't enough, but we'll deal with the Spirit part later. But he does say that being born of water is a requirement. Now, John, the writer's focus in this gospel, is to say that that John the Baptist came to introduce Jesus. So we're actually going to have to go elsewhere to find out details about John's baptism. We can get this from any of the gospel writers, but I'm going to be reading from Matthew 3. Front row, are you brave? Do you want to dare guess what one of the key components is of John's baptism? You can skim this passage if you want to. We'll start with verse 3. Does anybody want to guess? Repentance. Thank you, Nathan. Repentance it is. You'll see it coming out repeatedly in this, and I'll try to emphasize it as I read. Now, in those days, this is John, Matthew 3, verse 2, actually. I said it wrong, verse 2. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father,' for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." There it is again. John baptized by water, but Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And you're probably wondering what the fire means there? Good question. I don't know. But we won't have time to discuss it this morning, which saves me from exposing my ignorance. But we went to Matthew to find out what John's baptism is about, and it's obvious, isn't it? Repentance. This involves first confessing our sin, and then bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. The King James there says meet for repentance, which is suitable, means suitable for repentance. Now, N.T. Wright makes an important observation about another key component of water baptism, which in this context was John's baptism. He points out that this physical baptism also serves to join us to the visible body of Christ. Acts 2 records the dramatic beginning of the early church, of the church, and there Peter tells the people, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." A few verses later, Luke tells us that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Remember that this is only part of the process, but it is the visible, tangible, countable, if you please. It's the countable part. So there's the first part, being born of water. How might you tie these components together we've talked about being born of water? What is one thing they all have in common that the second part does not have? Anybody want to guess on this one? Anybody out there want to venture a guess on it? It's okay to be wrong. And you probably wouldn't be wrong. I'll tell you. The way I'm seeing it, what ties it together is that the being born of water is the part we do. Does that make sense? Water baptism, repentance, association with the visible body of Christ. This is the volitional element. Our choice, the act of our will. Remember, it's only part of the process, but it is an essential component. So we said it's not enough. What else do we need? You're still with me, aren't you? What else do we need? Born of water and Spirit. Thank you. Born of water, born of the Spirit. It shouldn't be too hard to figure out that I'm reading into this now that the born of the Spirit is the divine element, the part that only God can do. Let's read verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So the part of this that we're looking at is mystery. But there's another part. Have you ever seen a tree move with the wind? Have you ever seen a breeze started by dust or leaves or curtains? The truth is, we've never even seen the wind, right? We see its effects. We see the trees, the dust, the curtains. We ourselves, we are acted upon by the wind. We don't act on the wind. You see that? So, in the same way, the work of the Spirit happens to us. It's mysterious, and it's not something we do. It happens to us. We are the recipients, the responders. Jesus, the Spirit, is the divine initiator. By the way, there's an other interesting word play here. In the Greek, wind and spirit are the same word. MJ and Jordan, I've seen you with that land yacht or land sailor, what do you call it? Something like that. For those of you who don't know, Michael John and Jordan have this it looks like a go-kart, low-slung go-kart frame with a sail on it. Now imagine trying to ride that thing someday when there is no breeze. You get tired of just sitting, so you stand on the seat and start blowing at the sail. And you blow and you blow and you blow till you get tired. And then you go get an air tank. And you aim the, you get back on the land yacht and you aim the nozzle at the sail and you keep blowing until you run out of air. There seems to be a problem with this picture, doesn't there? It's not going to work. We make a big mistake when we try to create spirit life within ourselves. It won't work to try to generate the fruit of the Spirit from within ourselves. That's point one. Secondly, I mentioned earlier that repentance is our part. In being born of the Spirit, what is God's part of that repentance equation? Someone want to tell me? It's a little hard to get up the nerve, isn't it? It's forgiveness. Here's how Paul said it in Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. A few days ago, my family was preparing to wash our van, and our daughters got into a little squabble with the nozzle, first one ever. One of them squirted the other one, then dropped the nozzle and ran. Sadly, the nozzle fell exactly wrong, and it broke. Now, a little history here. I think we've got a nozzle disease on our place. We can't seem to keep a nozzle around that doesn't leak or spray erratically. But this one was brand new, and it was working like a charm. Had been. My daughter quickly sensed her mother's disappointment, and she was immediately overcome with disappointment of her own. Actually, it was anger at herself. Her countenance grew stormy, and the next thing I knew, she had run into the house and come back out with a handful of bills from her piggy bank. She wanted to pay for the broken nozzle. That sounds all too familiar to me. Does it to you? In the ensuing conversation, I asked her if she thought I should try to pay God back every time I did something that disappointed him. Well, she knew the right answer. But I'm ashamed to admit that I still struggle with this mentality sometimes. Like the unmerciful servant, I try begging God for more time to pay back an impossible debt. The sermon I preached to my daughter that day was a sermon I really need for myself. Forgiveness is foundational. It is absolutely central to God's economy. Repentance is a totally futile effort outside of God's forgiveness. It will get you nowhere. Any effort to begin or maintain a relationship with God outside of this must fail, because it rips out the very heart of salvation. There's one more aspect of spirit birth that I'm thinking about. When God gives us birth by the Spirit, what John the Baptist called the baptism of the Spirit, he gives us a new nature. I quoted from Ephesians earlier, where Paul tells us that we were all by nature children of wrath, but that by God's grace, he made us alive with Christ. Look back again at John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We have become sons and daughters of God. Now, here is where the analogy to the human birth really can't keep up. But I'm going to try anyway. Imagine that somehow Roland had been an amoeba, something we as humans try to eradicate. He had no concept whatsoever of life as a human, and even if he would have, he could have done absolutely nothing. He had no mechanism by which to change himself. It was only a matter of time until the right serum or something destroyed him. But Joseph somehow had the power to transform him from a microbe to a human being. Imagine, he's not now just a souped-up amoeba. He is a being of an entirely different nature. In the birth of the Spirit, God does his part. He first of all initiates a relationship with us. He forgives us, and he gives us a new nature. He changes us in our very essence. That, I think, is the core of the gospel. The gift of salvation, if you please, compressed into a few points. But to wrap up today, I'd like to fast forward a few years beyond the birth and infancy stage of this new life to the toddler stage. And here I've asked Tim and Malachi to help me out here a bit. I mentioned a bit about my own toddler stage as a believer, and I think I'm fair with you, am I not, in saying that you are or will be in the toddler stage for a while? Is that fair? Before you take that as an insult, let's ask Tim some questions. So, Tim, this is your son. Mm-hmm. Have you ever questioned that?
No, and he's just waking up, so he looks like it. That's why. But no, I've never questioned if he's never my son.
Okay. Now, would you call him a toddler?
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed about that?
No, I don't have any trouble with that.
Is he embarrassed by it?
Nope.
Okay. Does Malachi understand his relationship to you?
Not fully.
So you're saying you have a better understanding of your relationship than he does?
Yes.
That makes sense. Does he understand who you are very well?
He understands in some way that, you know, that his father is important to him. But to say that he really knows what that means, no.
Yeah, that makes sense. So would you say, though, that his limited understanding of who you are makes him less your son?
No.
That's instructive, isn't it? Has Malachi tried to crawl?
Yes, he started slow on that and rolls around first, you know, and then he starts the whole, I can lift myself up on my arms, and then finally he started crawling with his arms, and then lastly crawls as we know true crawling to be, with arms and...
All fours.
All fours, that's right. And he's mastered that well by now.
Very good. Very good. How about walking? Has he tried to walk?
It's almost more like he tries not to walk. He could.
Mm-hmm.
He stands when he's not thinking about it, on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as he realizes that what he's doing, it's time to gain security either by grabbing a hold or by dropping down.
Uh-huh.
So I think he could, but he doesn't yet.
Interesting. Interesting. Can we make some analogies here? So, how about talking? Has he tried to talk?
Not any really great words. In a way, he tries to talk, but nothing that we know, right?
Right.
What you going to say?
So, the things he's tried, you've already talked about crawling, and he really hasn't tried walking yet. It sounds like he didn't really succeed the first time he tried.
No.
So it was an effort of trying and trying again.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever try to tell him something he didn't understand?
Yes, and we still do.
So what do you do then?
Well, sometimes, I know it varies at times. I think sometimes you sort of battle, if you will, on an issue. And maybe other times you say this isn't the time, but try to be consistent and persistent when he doesn't get it the first time.
Okay.
And when he doesn't understand.
Okay. Okay. So you said be persistent. So you're saying that you don't just give up.
Correct.
So you stay with him. And do you consider him any less your son when he doesn't understand?
No.
No. So has he ever tried to do something he shouldn't?
Oh, definitely.
Sounds like some other children I know. So would you say then that he has disobeyed you at any point?
Yes.
Okay. You kind of addressed this, but earlier you said you sometimes do battle, then, as was your term. You sometimes you confront that, is what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why do you care? Why is it that you want him to obey you?
I think there's sometimes varying reasons. One, sometimes it's for his own safety. Maybe it's always ultimately for that. But sometimes it's very clearly for his physical safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I admit as a father that that's probably the easiest time to stick with it because
mm-hmm.
it's more concrete.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But when it deals with his physical safety, in our instance, the stove, the wood-burning stove, you know, it's just non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get through to him eventually mm-hmm. before we feel good about him.
Mm-hmm.
Before we feel good about leaving him in the room with that wood stove.
Exactly. So then those are the kinds of things that you make sure that you are taking care of, things that could harm him if he kept doing them.
Right.
Okay. And I suppose that you do the same kind of thing with when he tries to put something in his mouth that's not good for him.
That's right.
A thumbtack or a
sure
mothball or
mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Correct.
You see the analogies, don't you? Now, Tim and I weren't quoting scripture right now, were we? We don't have some extra special revelation from God, so don't elevate this too high. But I will say that if you browse through the prophets, if you read through Jesus' parables, even if you go through the epistles, you cannot miss the repeated allusion to us as God's children and God as our Father. You can't miss it. It's all over. I said at the beginning that I've been thinking about my toddler years, and let me tell you, in my mind, those years don't have a lot of resemblance to the healthy, youthful experience of Malachi. It just doesn't, they don't seem very parallel. I had plenty of times when I saw myself as a hopeless cripple who had no chance of growing into a robust son of God whom he could be proud of. If I tried to walk and talk like my daddy, it sure didn't feel like I did very well at it. And I put all kinds of harmful things in my mouth. As you can predict, it made me sick. It dulled my appetite for real food and it stunted my growth. Tim keeps Malachi away from those things for a reason. But see, the worst of it, I think, was that I had a warped perception of who God is in this whole struggle. I don't think I saw him as bending over me, helping me to walk, to get up when I fell. I'm sure I didn't understand that he was wanting me to obey him so that the bad things wouldn't harm me. I didn't understand that. And I'm also sure I didn't sense his fatherly pleasure in me. Your fathers take pleasure in you, right? My father took pleasure in me. Why couldn't I see that God was also taking pleasure in me? Well, it may have been a lot of things, but certainly part of it was our enemy's lies that I was believing. You know, you can go back. Thanks a lot, Tim. I need to tell you, too, that believing these lies kept me from one of the best ways of getting past a lot of my struggles. I believed that I was alone in my struggle. So, what did I do? Strangely, I lived another lie. And that lie was that I tried to give the appearance that everything was all right and that I didn't need help. Lie gave birth to lie. And I struggled alone when I could have had help from my family, from older brothers in the body, from my friends. They knew what a toddler's life was like. I didn't have to hide it from them. But I did. And I pray to God that you can do as I say, not as I did. Remember, after you have done your part, no, actually, while you are doing your part, God is doing his part. Don't try to do it for him. He is providing an environment of growth for you, and he is empowering you to grow, just like he gave you a new nature. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's stand for prayer. Father, our daddy, takes pleasure in us. You were excited when we were born. You let all of heaven know when we were born. You held us, you treasured us. You still do. You grieve when we hurt ourselves. You are sorry when we don't understand you. And you long to see us understanding you better. You long to have us understanding your love better. Thank you. Lord, I just ask for your blessing on these six people as they step forward, take faltering steps sometimes, take missteps sometimes, stumble, fall, get back up. Bless them, Lord. Bless them with a reminder that you are there and will be there for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, I have certainly appreciated this message, and I will resist the urge to sermonize or to give testimony at this point. And thank you for your patience. It may feel like the hour is growing late, but if you stay around, we will give you lunch. And we're not going to hurry through the next part of the process. This is an important part where these young people will be receiving baptism. And so thank you for being here, for witnessing this, and may the Lord be honored.
One of the things that I've been thinking about recently is, and Arlen alluded to it, is that that I have no sin before God. In God's eyes, I am sinless because of Jesus' death on the cross. He took away all the sin that I had, and frankly, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I don't expect to not sin, but all of the mistakes that I've made and the ones that I will make, Jesus takes that all away, and in God's eyes, I have no sin. And I just want to thank you as a church for praying for me, and supporting me through the instruction class and in baptism. And I want to thank my parents as well. And please continue to pray for me.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This is basically my testimony. I am saved not by anything that I have done, nothing I could do could save me, but I am saved by God's amazing grace. And because of that grace, I am forever indebted to him, and so I want to live my life completely for him. I am really excited to be a part of this church, and I would appreciate your prayers as I continue on this journey.
I first want to thank everyone for praying and for your support for us as we journey and as we learn about the body of Christ and his word. Luke 5, 29 to 32 says, "Later Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with such scum?' Jesus answered them, 'Healthy people have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" None of us are totally free from sin. So it's nice to know that our God cares for us, even when we mess up, and he still cares for us. God has definitely done a work in our lives, and we look forward to being a part of the church and the body of believers here at Center. And I want to thank everyone for praying once again, and please continue to pray.
I'm so thankful that to be a member, to become a member of this church. And I'm thankful that Jesus is willing to die on the cross for me. And the verse that I like is Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. This verse shows me that God is all-powerful, and you can always go to him if you have problems, and that he will always give you the right answers, and you can also talk to people that you feel comfortable to be around and talk to. And yeah, I'm thankful that you are praying for me, and I invite you to continue to pray for me.
I'm so thankful to God for what he has done for me and for sending his son to die on the cross for my sins. A verse that has come to mean a lot to me is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. This verse confirms that God's presence is with me always, and that he has established a relationship with me. He gives me assurance of his strength, which will help me to be able to be victorious over sin and death. I would like to thank you. I would like to thank my family and you as a church for praying for me. And I just ask that you would continue praying for me as I continue in my walk with God.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If a man love me, he will keep my words. These verses in John 14 help me realize that to truly love God, you must obey him. Obeying Christ is the ultimate portrayal of love towards him. I'm so thankful that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and because I know that when I make mistakes in life, he will forgive me if I ask for forgiveness. Thank you so much for praying for me, and I ask that you would continue to pray for me as I try to walk in faith and obedience to Christ.
Thank you. You may turn around. Michael John, do you believe in one true, eternal and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I do. I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
Thank you. And do you believe that he's the only Savior of mankind? That he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
Yes, I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word and to faithfully abide in the same until death?
Yes, I do.
Michael John, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Christ and his church in the right hand of fellowship with the rags.
Brother Nathan, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter and sanctifies the hearts of men and guides them into all truth?
Yes, I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal desires and sinful, your own carnal will and sinful desires?
Yes, I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word and to abide faithful in the same until death?
I do.
You may leave. Nathan, on the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ, this church, I give you the right hand of fellowship for the rites. Jordan, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word, and to faithfully abide in the same until death?
I do.
You may kneel. Jordan, on the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Jeremy, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator, preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
Do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins, and are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
am.
Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ and his word and to faithfully abide in the same until death?
Yeah.
You may kneel. Jeremy, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ and his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Arise. Erica, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
And do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross, gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins, and are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word and to abide in the same faithfully until death?
I do.
You may kneel. Erica, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of Christ and his church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. Arise. Rainy, do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
Do you believe that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life?
I do.
Do you believe that do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires?
I am.
Do you promise, by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ and his word and to abide faithfully into the same until death?
I do.
Rainy, upon the confession that you have made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now to the 6 of you these words. As Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so you shall walk in newness of life. And as long as you're faithful and abide in the doctrine of his word, you are his disciple indeed and will be acknowledged as members, as brothers and sisters in this body. God bless you and welcome. You may be seated. I'd like to give the fathers an opportunity to make a word of make an expression. I think I'd like to get the mic to you. Give it to Marv if you would. We'll start with Marv, who is the father of Michael, John, and Jordan.
Well, this is a very beautiful day for us, for our family, and Michael, John, and Jordan, may God bless you as you continue in this walk. I very much like the analogy of a real live human baby and how we develop from infants into adults. And God bless you, Michael, John, and Jordan, as you serve him and follow his direction.
Mm-hmm. Brother Marvin. Marvin is the father of Nathan.
I was thinking as I sat here that God the Creator has created these sons and daughters and blessed us with them. Mm-hmm. And today we can say they are God's sons and daughters. It's just echo what Marvin said. This has been a blessed day. And just a word to Nathan and the rest maybe. But Nathan has always been one that has been very enthused and disciplined about things that he takes a desire to accomplish. Hobbies and work, of course, at this time is mainly hobbies, but that doesn't bother me because I know that as he grows and matures, he will direct those energies to other things. And I would just encourage you to turn that energy and the characteristics of discipline that you have been blessed with to seeking God and his studying his word and to the commitment you have made here today. And may you be receive blessings and be a blessing to those around you.
Thank you, Marvin. Julian will take the mic to Larry.
Well, it's been a blessing to be here this morning, and I appreciated the way that you taught us this morning, Arwen, in the new birth process, the analogy that you made there. Violet and I feel unworthy of... Well, we feel blessed that Jeremy and Erica have made this choice to follow Christ and have chosen also to be baptized as the outward sign of what God has done in their hearts. And so just want to bless you, Eric and Jeremy, as you continue to walk with the Lord. And I just pray that... your parents could be the example for you, Christ-like examples for you. And I also do just want to thank the leaders for what you've invested in this instruction class and how you've taught them. Thank you.
Certainly welcome. Brother Mark. I should have said Larry is Erica and Jeremy's father, for those of you who are not here. And Mark is Rainey's father.
Well, we have great joy today. With the decision that Rainey has made in walking in truth. And as I look out across this crowd, I realize that this is a continuation of her journey in her spiritual life. But I know that a lot of you have had influences in these choices that Rainey has made leading up to this day. And as have all of us, encouraged and being encouraged along in this journey. Thank you for those who have and those of you who will. I'm especially also thankful just for Jesus Christ and for that plan of salvation and for the work that the Holy Spirit has done in all of our lives, and especially in Rainey's life. May the Lord be praised.
I'll take that then, Matthew. Thank you. Well, much could be said, but we will try to be appropriate with how we handle the time here. And I, too, just am blessed and encouraged, enjoyed the part that I had in teaching you. And I hope that this is just the beginning of a lot of good interaction between the preachers and these ones who have now become members. I especially liked Arlen's encouragement that don't get discouraged if you feel like a toddler sometimes. It doesn't make a difference. God still sees you as your child, as his child, as you are faithful to him. I think at this time, I'd like to have Joseph and Leanna, and you may bring as many of your children along as you'd like to. This is a special time, obviously, much more so for the Hershberger family, but it is a gift to be able to pray for a little one that has come into this world. And we're just going to lift them, lift him and his parents and the family to the Lord at this time. Heavenly Father, we paused this morning again, just awed at the miracle of life. And it's something that no one has been able to reproduce. Only you have created life. And for that we are grateful. And for that we rest in the fact that you have created us after your image. And this little man that you have brought to this world, Roland Mark, we thank you for him. You have a special plan for him. You have a design. You know the end from the beginning of his time here. And I just pray that you would make him someday a fruitful bough in the vine of the kingdom, that you would give him the grace and the strength that he needs for each day, even though times may seem uncertain to us. We thank you that he can rest in you. He can rest in his parents' care at this point, oblivious to the cares around him. And I just pray that you would especially bless Joseph and Leanna as they provide care for him, and as they nurture him, and as they bring him to you daily and seek your face for bringing him up in the nurture and admonition that helps to complete his journey, or helps him on his journey, and then helps him find you through the Lord Jesus in the end. So we thank you, we honor you, and we praise you for the new life you've given. And may we, Lord, walk in the new life you've given us. Guard us and keep us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I think what we will do, we will bow our heads for a word of prayer right now. Well, why don't we stand for that? And then Shane, go ahead and stand, and then I'll finish mine. And what we're going to have those who have been baptized go to the back. They'll be lining up right inside those wooden curtains back there for you to meet. And their parents will follow them out. And then we'd like for those of you who'd like to welcome them to make it a point to stop by fairly soon and see them. Because before too long, since this meal that we're serving is in their honor, we think they should be among the guests that get to eat fairly soon. So if you don't show up pretty quickly, we're going to usher them down to the head of the line for the meal. And we're going to pause now and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the meal. And then while they file back, Shane, would you lead us in the song, if you could? Let's pray. Again, Father, our hearts are just warmed today at knowing that you have called us to be your children. You've called us from darkness into your light, into your marvelous light, and we want to walk faithfully in it. Father, we have just been blessed today in the choices that these young people have made. We've been blessed in how you have poured out your word on us. Lord, may we not be content with hearing the truth. May we not be content until we do it. May you, Lord, guide us and direct us. Thank you for the food that's provided. We pray that you would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, and may we faithfully serve you with the strength that we receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Shane, if you'd like to come forward, we're going to just have Jeremy, I think if you just want to follow, go ahead and file out. It will, and your families can follow you as you go. Okay? Thank you.
Turn to 453. Oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey, and that they have their treasures above. Oh, what tongue can express the sweet comfort and peace of a soul in its earliest love? 'Twas a heaven below my Redeemer to know, and the angels more than to fall at his feet and the story repeat and the lover of sinners adore. Jesus all the day long was my joy and my song. Oh, that for his salvation might see he hath loved me, I cry.
Assume the food is ready, and so find yourself your way to the basement as soon as you can, and meet the new those who've been baptized as you like to.